When I was 16 years old, I went to a pay and weigh, and I weighed in at 199 1/4 pounds. And that pay and weigh was what I needed at that time in my life, because I wasn't ready for a spiritual way of life. So it was perfect, you know, I mean, just exactly what I needed. I took off 50 pounds. So when I went to college, I was normal size. I was a size 14. And I never regained all that weight back, you know. And a lot of the thing about weight and everything is a blur to me. But I'll tell you what happened, and I'll tell you why the weight and the numbers are a blur to me. I became very numbers-oriented at the pay and weigh, okay? And, you know, it's always like the jumping on the scale and the black and white perfectionism and stuff like that. And I would take, like, a sheet of paper like this, and I would make 21 meals and figure out where everything was going. And, you know, always obsessed with food and thinking and planning and making crazy recipes. And, you know, I'll still remember, this is really funny, but there was this one recipe that you would take. Goodness, this is how sick I was. I don't believe it. Unsweetened applesauce, and you mix it with low-calorie cocoa, okay? And you would drop it on, like, wax paper and stick it in the freezer, and it would taste like chocolate candy. That's how nuts. Okay, that's how crazy. Don't go and do it, but, I mean, if you want to, fine. But, I mean, that's how nuts I was. I mean, I was always looking for some way to, okay. So, you know, this is a progressive illness. So that I was 16. I went to college. I got married. We moved to Jacksonville, and I kept going to the pay and weigh, and got very, I was very pretty thin. I think I was like a 6 or 8 or something. And but you know, it's a progressive disease. I started getting crazy, and the first spiritual experience I ever had, something told me that the pay and weigh wasn't going to fix it anymore. I had crossed that line, you know. And this was, my first meeting was October 11th, 1977. And nobody knew what, I mean, you know, unless you were in AA, nobody knew what the hell the 12 steps were. You know, society was not into, you know, addiction and spirituality and all that kind of stuff. But I went, and I had no idea what it was. And I was probably the thinnest one there. But I was crazy. And the thing is, I got a sponsor right away that first night. And what I did, nobody kind of knew what they were doing there. It was really interesting. They had recipes in the back of the room. But one thing I did was I took the food plan that I had used at the pay and weigh, which I knew was successful, and I got the concept of eating 3 times a day with nothing in between. Not saying I do that today, more or less, but I got that concept. So what I did is I took all the food and I put it at 3 meals. And it freed me from in between having to think. And I mean, because like when I was in college, I used to have a little hot pot, and they had these little canned mushrooms. I would heat up canned mushrooms. I was always eating. It had to be something. It didn't matter what, you know. So, so I got this concept, and it freed me from thinking all day about food. And but I still did my little 21, you know, figuring everything out. And I was still kind of into that, weighing and measuring and all that. And I realized right away that the steps were different. I did not understand it, but I started going to a step study. I did a 4-step, et cetera, et cetera. And we moved to Long Beach from Jacksonville, and I was in program like 9 months, and I was so excited because I knew OA was really strong in Southern California. And I was still really into the numbers and everything, and I remember going to a meeting on Friday morning in Lakewood, and I would weigh myself. I would go to the Naval Regional Medical Center in Long Beach and weigh myself. And I remember one weight, the lowest weight was 132. And then I had to go right to my meeting because I couldn't handle weighing myself and not going right to see my sponsor. So I was very rigid. I was changed from peas to carrots or whatever, you know, kind of thing. And my husband was in the Aleutian Islands for like 6 weeks or 8 weeks, and he was coming back like about the 2nd of January or something. So tell you what got me out of it. And this kind of moves into what I kind of believe with food. Okay, I used to take this bus to L.A. I worked at downtown L.A. And this is during the Arab oil embargo. And there used to be this freeway bus that you get on the bus. Okay, so one day I got on the bus on the way home, and I had this epiphany. And the epiphany was, God makes everything, which means God made every food. So everything is good because God makes it, okay? There's no such thing as a good or bad food. It's just food, okay? And there are certain foods that when I eat them, interfere with my spiritual connection with God, okay? And when I looked at it that way, see, don't tell me what to do, okay? You know, don't give me a list of, you can eat this and you can eat that, you know, I'll say, you know, and I'll just go do it. I'm such a master manipulator. I mean, two cups of skim milk with an ice cream cone because they're both dairy, you know. I mean, such a manipulator. And when I realized this, I said, like, oh, so there's no bad or good. Okay, so anyway, somehow that kind of started my head going like that, that there are foods that interfere with my spiritual connection. Okay? They block what they call in the book the sunlight of the spirit. So what I had to do, though, I had to be very honest about the foods I could and couldn't. You know, a lot of it was, you know, I do believe I have a physical allergy and a mental obsession. So, and I do have certain, what they call red light foods, you know, and I realized that two of my favorite food groups were fat and salt. You know, that's real. I love salt. I've always loved salt. You know, things changed for me. I don't like the word abstinence, you guys. I hate that word. I don't use it. I don't know what it is. I think it's because I have so many diet tapes from so long that I don't even use that word. I use the word recovery, and that I say that I have 42 years of recovery. From the day I walked in, I have never left this program, and that is only thing I have done perfectly. I never left. And when we moved overseas and we were in places, I started meetings. I never left, and I never graduated. And you know, my foods change. You know, over 42 years, you age, your body changes, your foods change. You know, this is just what happens. You know, nothing is rigid. There was a time in my food plan, or whatever you want to call, food plan, or that if I didn't eat any raisins, you know, that was like, oh my God, it was like I may as well have been eating Fritos, you know. And now it's like, it's not like I like them too much, but if they wind up on something, it's, you know, so, all right, whatever, you know. Okay, so here's the thing with the numbers is I don't weigh myself. I haven't weighed myself in so many years that I don't even know. And if I had to had general anesthesia or something where they need to know how much I weigh, I say, please don't tell me, and I turn with my back, and I don't know. Because if I'm honest, I'm very in touch with my body. I know if I've gained or lost weight. I know from clothes, and I'm not using a pair of stretchy pants like, oh, I'm so funny, you know. I really have to be honest with myself about all that. I've been, when we moved to Sacramento, like about 29 years ago, I think it was a size 10. And what is that, 5 or? Okay. So I moved to Sacramento, I was like a size 10, and then it was 12. So I've been like a 14 for several years, and for some reason this year I lost weight, and I don't know why. I think it's because I've been trying to eat more protein because I'm vegetarian, and I have been for years, and I don't eat that much protein, so I think I've gotten back down to a 12 and a couple of 10s, and I feel good. You know, I feel good, but you know what? My goal today isn't to be an 8 or a 10. It's to be healthy. It's to be well. It's to be sane on all three levels, you know? Like I said, I don't want to be a size 10 if I'm binging and dieting. It's sick. One of the best things I ever heard in program was somebody said, there were no big deals. Everything was a big deal, you know? Drama, you know? I try to live a drama-free life, you know? no degree. And one of the things I really love is, okay, it's the concept of humility, okay? I never have it made, and I don't believe any of us do. Humility, I was told, was teachability. I'm still teachable. And, you know, I take what I like, I leave the rest, and, you know, I'm sharing with you what my kind of different concepts are, because maybe it'll help somebody. I mean, maybe somebody could say, oh, she doesn't counter abstinence from whatever. I said, like, you know what? It doesn't work for me. That whole idea doesn't work for me. So the only, as I said, the only thing I could do perfectly is that I've never left the program. And I don't think anybody here is that unique that you can't recover. You know, we just think we're so special and, oh, it's this one or that one. Bullshit, you know? If I can live in recovery, happy, joyous, and free, and God has removed the obsession. Here's the thing, I'm not white knuckling, guys. I'm not white knuckling, you know? And I put a little sticky in here. This is my original. Because this is how I feel today. We have ceased fighting anything or anyone. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally. We will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it. Neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react, so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. And that's the key is, you know, every day I wake up, it's like, okay, God, what do you want me to do today? Well, I know what God wants me to do today. It's to give service, to be of service to my family. And I do this little prayer like, help me today to make good choices in my words, my actions, my food, just everything, you know? And if it's not, which it will never be perfect, then I believe everything is a learning experience. let's see. So I'm really grateful on this day of, you know, Thanksgiving, et cetera. I'm grateful for good health and that I've never left. I don't know why I never left, because so many people leave. And I guess I was just, I won't say stupid enough to stay, but I was just, excuse me, I just was kind of, I just kept coming. I don't know. I knew in my bones that there was no other place for me. I wasn't looking for anything else. And one of the, my biggest enemies is my head. My head could tell me all sorts of shit, you know? Somebody said, everything I say is, you know, something I've heard. Nothing, almost nothing is original here, you know? My head will mug me in a dark alley. You know? I mean, I love that, you know? And I can twist, and like I said, I'm a manipulator. I can twist and I can say anything. But what I try to do today is, as I said, I live the principles of the 12 steps. And we read those. You know, honesty, hope, courage, faith, willingness, blah, 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 blah. And which is how everybody in the world should be living, right? Okay? And I like eating. I love food. I love a good meal. And I enjoy food. And I think God made food taste good because he wanted us to enjoy it. You know? And I'm not going to eat cottage cheese and grapefruit for the rest of my life so I can be a size 6. You know? You know? I mean, seriously, you guys. You know, I mean, if I've said anything that helps you, great. If not, help me. So, I don't care. I do care. You know, I do care. But you never know. You know, take what you like and leave the rest. And one day at a time, you're not going to get rid of me. So, thanks.
Thanks, Hope.